The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jaya Pataka Swami on July 20th, 1984 in Madras, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 10, Verse 7.
Hastinapure,
Hastinapure,
Asan Kotipayan Hari,
Asan Kotipayan Hari,
Suhidam Chavi Sokaya,
Suhidam Chavi Sokaya,
Vasus Chapriya Kamyaya,
Vasus Chapriya Kamyaya.
In the city of Hastinapur.
In the city of Hastinapur.
Masan.
Masan.
Months.
Months.
Katipayan.
Katipayan.
A few.
A few.
Hari.
Hari.
Lord Shri Krishna.
Lord Shri Krishna.
Suhidam.
Suhidam.
Relatives.
Relatives.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Visokaya.
Visokaya.
For pacifying them.
For pacifying them.
Suwasu.
Suwasu.
The sister.
Sister.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Priyakamyaya.
Priyakamyaya.
For pleasing.
For pleasing.
Translation. By His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Hari, Lord Sri Krishna, resided at Hastinapur for a few months to pacify His relatives and to please His own sister, Subhadra. Translation with repetition. Sri Hari.
Sri Hari.
Lord Sri Krishna.
Lord Sri Krishna.
Resided at Hastinapur.
Resided at Hastinapur.
For a few months.
For a few months.
To pacify His relatives.
To pacify His relatives.
And to please.
And please.
His own sister.
His own sister.
Subhadra.
Subhadra.
Report. Krishna was to start for Dwaraka, His own kingdom, after the battle of Kurukshetra, and Yudhishthira's being enthroned, but to oblige the request, ekhane jara kibo bangla jane baire bola hocche. Lord Krishna stopped at Hastinapur, the capital. But to oblige the request of Maharaj Yudhishthira and to show special mercy to Bhishma Deva, Lord Krishna stopped at Hastinapur, the capital of the Pandavas. The Lord decided to stay especially to pacify the aggrieved king, as well as to please Subhadra, sister of Lord Sri Krishna. Subhadra was especially to be pacified because she lost her only son, Abhimanyu, who was just married. The boy left his wife Uttara, mother of Maharaj Parikshit. The Lord is always pleased to satisfy His devotees in any capacity. Only His devotees can play the parts of His relatives. The Lord is absolute. Thus end the purport and translation by His Divine Grace through Abhoycharan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 7, in the chapter entitled Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwaraka. Krishna, like a dramatic actor, is playing the part perfectly as a friend, as a guardian, as a ward, as a lover, as a relative. And all of these exchanges are being performed with His pure devotees. The pure devotees, many of them have done immense austerities, tapasya, in previous birth to be able to get this position. For instance, it is said that great sages after long practice of devotional austerities, they can take birth as a monkey in Vrindavan and get the butter from Krishna's hand. You see, so all these relations of Krishna, they all have some secret past. Why they're allowed to associate with the Lord in this very beautiful pastime. They're able to serve the Lord and to set the scenario or to serve service, so they have the various external relationships. Now these exchanges between Krishna and his devotees, these are not like the ordinary relations in the material world. They're actually a heart-to-heart or a soul-to-soul relationship. You see, externally they may appear to be like an ordinary material relationship, but internally there's altogether a different flavor. You see, that can only be understood by a devotee who is surrendered to Krishna and who is rendering devotional service and who has experienced even momentarily a drop of that ocean of nectar of devotion. For one who has never tasted a drop of that nectar, they won't be able to understand that the happiness and the loving exchange between Krishna and his devotees is altogether a completely different world. It has nothing to do with this material world. So, that is why even great sages and demigods, they become bewildered. That how is it that the aborn, the unborn, the oja, the unmanifest, the absolute truth, the param brahman, how is it that he is coming into the material world and he is acting just like a material person is having relatives and all these things. He is acting in all these different relationships. So they become bewildered that in fact, is this the absolute truth? Or is he something else? What is the situation? They're not able to understand. What to speak of the great sages, even the demigods like Brahma and Indra, they made a mistake in recognizing Krishna. Because Krishna, just like when Krishna was a small child, that time his mother tied him to the butter churning stone. And he was just crawling in the garden, pulling that stone, and it stuck between two Arjuna trees. And the trees broke down, and the two sons of the demigod Kuvera, they appeared from those trees, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. And they offered all their prayers to Krishna, saying that Krishna was so kind that they had committed great offenses. They had, by the blessing of Lord Shiva, they could enjoy just by the side of Kailash in the Manas Ganga or the Mandukini Ganga. But instead of doing spiritual activities, they were engaging in frolicking with young apsaras, heavenly girls. And in this way they were drinking and they were doing all type of things which the sons of the demigod should not do. And Narada Muni found them in that state and they were so shamelessly drunk that although the girls that were there, they hid themselves because they were afraid of Narada Muni curse. But these two sons, they weren't at all concerned. So Narada Muni cursed them that they'll become trees. But then he also said they'll become trees in Vrindavan and they'll be delivered by Krishna, who they can see face to face. So although these two brothers had no qualification to see Krishna face to face, but because Krishna's pure devotee Narada Muni, he gave this type of a curse, which was actually also a blessing. Therefore, they could see Krishna face to face. So Krishna said that actually, the only reason you're seeing me today is because my devotee, he had desired it. Therefore, I'm doing this. So you can understand how powerful is the blessing of a devotee. Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva, they were doing unauthorized activity. What to speak of pious activity. They were doing activity which was completely against the regulative principles for a demigod or for a human being. But in spite of that, Narada Muni, he blessed them, they could see Krishna. So because he said that, Krishna accepted. What to speak if a devotee is sincerely trying to serve the Lord through the spiritual master, and if the spiritual master prays to Krishna, please have your mercy on this fallen soul. You see, then Krishna, he very easily delivers that devotee. Therefore, we depend more on the mercy of the devotee for our spiritual advancement than even our own sadhana or our own practices. By the mercy of the devotee, one can make very rapid advancement. Even these persons who did not have, you see, proper qualification, they also could see Krishna face to face. So what to speak, the devotee's blessing is so powerful that we are always hankering for getting that special mercy. Because the spiritual master, the pure devotees, they are very dear to Krishna. So if they ask Krishna something, then Krishna, he honors that request. Not that Krishna is obliged. He is independent. He can do as he likes. But out of his very friendly and wonderful nature, which is unparalleled, he gives that special facility to his devotee, that he gives that mercy. If the devotee wants something, then Krishna, he fulfills that. Although he's not obliged to, that's his wonderful nature. So these two sons of the demigods, they could understand, seeing Krishna, that this is not just a small boy in Vrindavan. This is the Param Brahman. This is the same super soul. But he's disguised himself, and in this way he's playing for his own purpose. So they also admitted that nobody can understand who you are, Krishna. But somehow or another we could understand that in fact you are the Supreme Lord. But you cover yourself in this way by your leelas. And we only pray that we can now not forget you and we can eternally engage in your devotional service. So Krishna blessed them that now you don't have to fear. You can go back to your father Kuvera and you shall not forget me in the future. Maybe that by their getting the blessing of Lord Shiva also, somehow they misuse that blessing. You see, this is the difference. Sometimes we approach a demigod for some material facility and they give, all right, you take it. But then that we may misuse that facility. You see, another type of blessing by the brother of Shiva, in one sense, is that Narad, who is all Manas Putra Brahma in this creation, although actually he's eternally liberated, so in that sense, he's beyond all these categories. Well, he blessed the Kuvera's sons. His curse was all blessing, that they could get the eternal bhakti, eternal service to Krishna. So that was considered to be a far greater blessing. Shiva ji, he also, Lord Shiva, gives this blessing sometime. If somebody asks Shiva, that please give me a blessing of pure devotional service, he's very pleased. But normally people are not approaching him for that. They are approaching for some material benediction, so he very disinterestedly, all right, take it, you see. But the demigods, they're also controlled by Krishna in their heart, by the Paramatma Vishnu Roop. So what happens is the demigods, they're giving the blessing in proportion to the sacrifice and the worship of the devotees. If a particular worshipper or yajak of a demigod, of a devota, you see, performs a tapasya, whether it's to Kartikeya or to Shiva or to Durga, according to how they are performing that tapasya, then they will give a reciprocal benediction. But the devotees of Krishna, they're considered to be like desire trees. Their mercy is beyond this type of calculation. That's why we pray Vaishnavanam, we pray Vancha Kalpatalubhyascha Kripasanduvaye Vacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha. That they're Patit Pavan, they're unlimitedly merciful, because even for a little small service, they give a very big benediction. Or, in this case, even without any qualification, rather negative qualification, Manigriva and Nalukuvera had negative qualification. They were rather offensive. But as a result of their offenses, the mercy of, who can imagine, Narada Muni's mercy, that he gave them the blessing in the form of a curse that they could see Krishna face to face. And they could reside in Vrindavan for so long. Even though they were trees, they were also blessed that they could have the same human intelligence. So they had a lot of time to meditate on their mistakes. And then in the end, they could see Krishna. So that blessing of a devotee, even his curse is a blessing. What to speak of his blessing, that is unimaginable. So, therefore, it is recommended, Bhagavata Nitya Sevaya. We should regularly serve the Bhagavats. Who are the Bhagavats? Bhagavat is in two categories. Who can say what are the two categories of Bhagavat? Kala Krishna Das? One is? Book Bhagavat. Is there any other category? The person Bhagavat. So the devotee who is completely dedicated to practicing and preaching and living the teachings of the book Bhagavat, he is also Bhagavat. So therefore we serve both the devotee who is living by the Bhagavat, as well as we serve the book Bhagavat. And by this we get purified and we get special blessings. So, Bhagavats, they are glorified in the Shastra, and actually this practice of Krishna consciousness is also meant for the Bhagavats. Those who are very powerful or pure Bhagavats or devotee, they're also called Mahabhagavat or Uttam Adhikari. So, Krishna, when he comes and he does these pastimes, it's not an accident that all these so-called relatives of Krishna, of course Krishna has no relative in one sense, he's Param Brahman, everything is his part, you see. Everything is related, but not in that sense. But he comes down and he has that power that if he wants to come in the material world, he may come. And so then he surrounds himself with his devotees as his different relatives. So Prabhupada said that the Lord is pleased, always pleased to satisfy his devotees in any capacity. Only his devotees can play the parts of his relatives. The Lord is absolute. Because what is the nature of a devotee? A devotee is someone who is always trying to please the Lord. In the Vedas it describes that the brahmanas, the rishis, they're very dear to the Lord. But it also describes, Madhva Acharya has explained, that even more dear than these rishis and sages are the devatas. The administrative demigods, They're more dear because they're devotees. Indra, Kubera, Brihaspati, or the different devotas, they're all Vishnu Bhakta. In the Vedas, it describes the definition of Asura is that he is a Vishnu Bhakta. And the definition of an Asura or a demon is that he is inimical to Krishna, to Vishnu Bhakti. So, the difference though between the devatas and the pure devotees is also there. That more dear than even the demigods is the Bhagavatas, or those who are pure devotees. Because devatas, although they are devotees of the Lord, some of the sages, they are also mayavadis or they are impersonalists. They might not be in bhakti yoga, they may be in jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga or some other form of yoga, or in karma khanda, many of them. So they are dear to the Lord, but they are not considered necessarily to be devotees. So more dear to them are the demigods. But demigods, just like Indra, he approached the Lord that he wanted to defeat that one demon, Vrittasur. But so the Lord said that you can defeat him, this is the way, but the Vrittasur is more fortunate than you are. Because you're asking that he be defeated so you can continue with your material happiness. For maintaining your material position, you are asking my help. But he is asking that even he dies, he wants to return to me as an eternal devotee. So actually, between the two of you, although I'm answering your prayer and his prayer, but he is more advanced than even you. Although he is in the body of a demon. So, although Vrittasura took that demon's body, actually he was a Bhagavat. He was Chitraketu in a previous birth. And he was cursed by Parvati to take birth as a demon because of some inadvertent statement. So, but Krishna says that Name Bhakta Vinashati, Pranashati, that my devotee is never destroyed. So because Chitraketu was cursed, that is of course a very unfortunate thing, materially speaking, but because he was a pure Bhagavat, that even that curse took the form of a blessing. And he could achieve liberation and perfection as a pure associate of the Lord in his next birth itself, in one birth. Where Indra, he regained his position. But that was, after all, a material position. To be Indra has got its limitation. At the end of his life, then again he has to suffer his karmas. So this is the situation. So therefore, we are given all these stories in, or all these examples in the Shastra so we can understand what is the actual position of a Bhagavat. That a pure devotee of the Lord is in the most exalted position. You see. So, a pure devotee is not performing karmas. Normally a person performs punya or karmas to get a good result, to achieve swarga, to get money, fame, learning, good husband, good wife, all these things. This is why people are performing a karma, to get some blessing. Many times people come and say, Swamiji, my son is sick, please give blessing. Swamiji, my daughter is sitting for her final exam, please give blessing. She can. This is normally what people are interested in. They don't realize that you can get such a blessing. Just like the Kuveras, the brothers, they are very wealthy. They had some shelter from Lord Shiva, but they became puffed up. And as a result, they became neglectful of their real purpose of life. But they got such a blessing, they could see Krishna face to face. Who can imagine? See, which they were really grateful for. They actually felt that there is no greater friend to us than Narada Muni. You see, they might have at first thought we were being cursed. This is really bad, that Narada Muni is really harsh on us. But subsequently, they could see the justice and the mercy of Narada Muni's curse. That actually he gave them the greatest blessing in disguise. So this is the actual position, that we should be hankering not for getting some punya, which is a temporary result from which we can make some mistake and fall down. You see. Of course, we should always avoid pap or sinful activity like illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, meat, fish, egg, onion, garlic, eating. We should eat Krishna prasadam and avoid the other things. We should engage ourselves always in the service of Radha Govinda, of Rukmini, Krishna, Satyabhama, Jagannath, Subhadra, Balaram. We are fortunate here, we're worshipping Krishna and Subhadra and Baladev, which also shows Krishna in a very intimate and personal relationship with his so-called relatives, who are nothing but his own expansions and energies, which he's having this lila for his own happiness and to attract the fallen souls. So, we should take that as our goal, not to do any punya, not to do any pap, not to do any pious activity for some material result, not to do any impious activity which will bring us suffering. We should engage rather in pure devotion. Pure devotion to the Lord or Sudha Bhakti is akarma. There's no result for that on the material platform. If we want material result, we can get it. Without asking, we can get all our desires satisfied. That isn't any problem at all. If you have billions of dollars, you can get any car you want, any house you want, this automatic thing. But if you have no money, then of course, you cannot get these things by the ordinary means. If you have bhakti, which is higher than mukti, even the Kumaras, they were also muktatmas. But when they could see Narayana face to face, and they bowed down at his lotus feet, they were and smelled the tulsi offered to his lotus feet, they became filled with ecstasies. Their hairs were standing on end. Their body was quivering. They were then able to understand what we were realizing in the Brahman, in the Brahmajyoti Darshan, that this is nothing compared to the happiness that we are experiencing now, just bowing down at the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. So then from that moment, the Kumaras, they were converted from impersonalist Brahmavadis to Bhaktas or Bhagavats. So, as a great Bhagavats, their example is there, that we should not be distracted by material desires or by even a desire for liberation. But we should focus on trying to serve Krishna for His satisfaction. Akamo sarvakamo va mokshakam udaraditi brena bhakti yogena jidete purushan param. If we render pure devotional service, then whether we are akamo, this pure Bhagavad desireless devotee, or sarvakamo, we have got some material desire at in our mind. Sarvakamo mokshakamo udaraditi, or if we also have a desire for liberation from all this material suffering. Any of these three categories should render devotional service to Krishna, thinking how to please Him, and leave the rest to Krishna. He is perfectly capable. He's an antarjami. He knows what we have in our mind. Rather, we'll regret it later if we have something in our mind. We are keeping some desire in our mind, some unfulfilled desire. Well, Krishna, He can satisfy that very easily. You see, we don't even have to express that to Krishna, because He knows what we have in our mind even better than we know. So, Krishna, He is having these pastimes which are not understandable by even the great sages or demigods. But if a person becomes a Bhagavat, he can participate in those pastimes, and also he gets an insight to know What is the transcendental nature of these pastimes? Therefore, Krishna described in Gita, anyone who knows the real spiritual quality and secret of his birth, his appearance, and his activities, that person does not have to take again rebirth in the material world. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktam dehang punarjanma naiti mameti sorjuna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any question? Yes?
Throughout the Kurukshetra war, Lord Sri Krishna was very keen that Arjuna should be, he should emerge victorious. But at the same time, he permitted Abhimanyu to be killed. He knows what is in store for him in the future. Why can't he give him that? Is it also a leela?
Yes. Who should stay and who should go? That ultimately is beyond our control. That's within his control. If he wants to, he can interfere. These things, of course, he even orchestrates. Sometimes he allows his devotees to get put in some difficulty. That makes the devotee more fixed up, because these are all temporary relationships. The real eternal relationship is with Krishna. So by some temporary drama, Krishna, he brings the devotee even closer to him. They're all drama. In fact, we appear in this world and we are now as an Indian or as American or as some North Indian or South Indian, whatever, man or woman. This is also, we're given for this life our stage dress. You see? But actually, this has nothing to do with our eternal identity. Even the spiritual master, no one can see who he actually is. They're seeing his skin outside the clothing. But behind that, there's a Nitya Rupa, eternal form, which is there for serving Krishna on the transcendental platform. That is not visible by conditioned souls. So, similarly, we don't see the actual background. All of these devotees, they have got some relationship with Krishna. And some, after Kurukshetra, Krishna, he went back very quickly. So some people he sent ahead, and some people he allowed to remain. So because Abhimanyu, his own son was Parikshit Maharaj. And it was Parikshit Maharaj who caused this Bhagavad to be heard 5,000 years ago. So, this way, Krishna, his plan nobody can understand. We can only hope to be in keeping with his plan. Then we can get all the mercy of the Lord. If we try to oppose his plan, it will be unsuccessful. That way, the non-devotees of Krishna, often they want to try to manipulate the material affairs to create some temporary situation which they imagine will make them happy. But that situation will never make them happy. Maybe temporarily they can feel some happiness on a material platform, but that will be very quickly also, that will be destroyed by time in due course. So, with Krishna devotees, they are concerned not to maintain some material situation. They want to maintain their relationship with the Lord very intimately and very closely, eternally. Kunti Devi, she had ample tribulation in her life. And when finally she had an opportunity to express her heartfelt experiences and affection to Krishna, at that time, Krishna was going back to Dwarka. And what did she say? She said that, "My Lord, we have suffered so many difficulties in our life. And now we are at the success, so-called success of life. We are now enjoying the empire of the entire world without any enemies whatsoever. But we're seeing that today you are going back to Dwarka, leaving us here. And as a result, we feel that rather than this so-called sampad or good fortune, that you put us again in some distress, so we can call upon you and you can come and save us, and therefore we can have your association more and more. That for us, having your association even for a moment, this is more important and relishable and satisfying to us than all of these material facilities which now, by your arrangement, we have been given. So devotee has a totally different perspective. They actually become completely in love with Krishna. And that love is something which is transcendental and fully satisfying to the devotee. So even as the devotee may be given some material facility, they don't get distracted by that. They can forget Krishna. But so Krishna, of course, has the power. If he wants to, he can do anything. But in some cases, it's Krishna's desire that let people go on for some reason. We don't know what is his plan. That soul may have some purpose, some other place, some other universe. Yes?
What does the meaning of mercy?
Mercy. Misericordia. Mercy. Of course. If someone gives you something for which they're not obliged to do that, that's called mercy. Right? If you make a business deal with some merchant that I'll work for you and you pay me 1,000 rupees a month, and he pays you 1,000 rupees, and that is the market rate for that job, then there's not a question of mercy, it's fair market. Right? If he doesn't need any employee, and neither he has any, but he, all right, you just stay here and I'll give you some money. Then you could say, well, he's being merciful. That means that it's some kindness, that he's doing something for which is not actually necessary to be done. He's doing it because of some sentiment, some kindness on his part to help another. So in Krishna's case, you see, he gives his mercy. That means that he's not obliged to do so. There's nothing we can do, there's nothing that we can do to actually get from him some particular benediction whereby we are obliged to do that. That's why even sometimes if the Lord gives a devotee some material benediction, they'll say that's not merciful. Some pure devotee might, out of his deep love, he may also even criticize to give a devotee who is serving, to give him some material thing, that's not mercy, because that material thing is not so valuable. That if they can get pure bhakti, that is real mercy. Like that. But these are internal type of sentiment. Basically, mercy means that they're giving something more than what they need to give. Out of their own kindness, out of their own very broad heart, they're giving. Just like the Vasudev Datta, he prayed, let all living entities in the universe, let them be delivered to Krishna, let me take their karma. Not that those living entities did anything for Vasudev Datta. Why is he taking the, let me take their karmas? Everybody is hungry to get rid of karmas. He's saying, give me their karma, let them go back to Krishna. Because that was his mercy. That was his very kind mood, that he thought that somehow I tasted the nectar of Krishna's seva, Krishna's service, And these people, they're all bahirmukh. They're just absorbed in material suffering and enjoyment, missing out in that real happiness. So once I already experienced, even for a second, the happiness of Krishna, now my life is already, you see, fulfilled. Why should I, one person, just be happy and everyone suffer? Better let me suffer and let them all go back to Krishna. Let me take their karma and let them go back. Then I can just suffer. For one person, if I suffer, what's the harm? I'm insignificant. If so many can be saved. This type of mentality, this sacrifice, wanting to help others, this is the nature of a devotee. There's no cause for that. You see, they'll be called fools. Many times if a person becomes a devotee and starts to preach and distribute books or to do devotional service, their family members will come and say, what are you doing with your youth? You could be enjoying, you could be having good times, you could be just enjoying in the world in so many ways. What are you doing? You're giving up all this fun. You could be going to cinemas and you could be maybe dancing or you could be like this, doing so many things. They try to, they think that you're missing the good time of your life. But like Govinda Das prayed, Bhajahure manna srinanda nandana abhoya charanara nindare eidhana jovana putra bari jana ithe ki ache poro titi re eidhana jovana putra bari jana ithe ki ache poro titi re kamala dala jala jivana thala mala kamala dala jala jivana thala mala ache nai jivana tala manga vajahu hari pada niti re vajahu hari pada niti re. What this adhana, this wealth, adhana jovana, so called youth, putra, children, parijana, relatives, iteki achi poro titi re, what is the eternal spiritual value of all these things? Kamala dala dala jivana talama, life is just flickering like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. In 1 second, everything is just topsy-turvy. In 1 second, everything can be destroyed. So better that we give our mind and our thoughts and our actions and words in the service of Hari, service of Krishna. Bhajahu Hari Pada Niti De. This should be our daily activity. Just let us only take this as our goal, just to serve His lotus feet. Then we are fearless, then we can have the perfection of life. Otherwise, what is the value of these things? So, devotee has got the opposite opinion. Krishna also may give the devotee family, may give the devotee fame, may give the devotee material things. But devotee, he takes this as inconsequential. This, if Krishna gives it, alright, he gives. If he doesn't give it, Krishna, they're not worrying about that thing. That, it may come, that's according to our previous karmas, we may get something or not. You see, but the devotee already figured out that this thing is not essential. If I get it, that's also Krishna's mercy. We'll live with it and use that. But real objective should be to have somehow or another get the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Because once you get that shelter, then you never lose that. The material thing, they may come, they may go. Sometime one may get a really good mate, then suddenly accident there, then one is made as a widow or widower. Nobody can say it. So many difficulties. Someone may get a very nice child, but even at an early age, sometimes children are dying, then they're feeling very bad. like King Chitraketu got his son, then the son died untimely, he was very frustrated. So material happiness means material suffering. You can't avoid one, because always a limit is there, always end is there. So the devotee, they become detached. As suffering or happiness comes, we will tolerate. The real thing that I want is to get the shelter of Krishna. Because that is the real happiness, and that never ends. Material happiness and material suffering, that we have to tolerate. Even you have entered devotional service, that doesn't mean you won't get material happiness. Rather, Krishna says, there's no loss. Whatever happiness you're going to get, you're still going to get that. Only you may be relieved from some suffering. So even the devotee, they also pray that, I don't want that happiness also. You promise I'll also have whatever happiness I was going to get, whatever good karmas I have, I'm going to get. But even that good karma, if it stands in the way of my devotional service, I don't care for it. If it can be used in my devotional service, alright. I don't mind. But if it's going to be a stumbling block, then I don't want even my good karma. So the materialists, they can't understand. They don't see that the devotee actually doesn't lose any happiness. They get the full happiness. But they're not deriving their satisfaction from that material happiness. The devotee derives the satisfaction from the pure devotional service. Yes? When you'll get Diksha and?
What means of Diksha?
What means? What is the meaning of Diksha? Oh. So, Diksha means Krishna. They are on probation. Once they surrender to Krishna and say, Krishna, my life is yours, I want to serve you eternally. The way that one does that is through Krishna's pure devotee. One has to surrender to a devotee of Krishna as a spiritual master and accept initiation and serve that spiritual master following his instruction as being the absolute representative of Krishna. So initiation we give normally after a devotee is in the temple for 6 months. Now, a devotee can cook, means he can prepare the thing like cutting vegetables, rolling the chapati, or making the batter, or things like that. But actually firework, the putting the thing on the fire and the final action, that should be done by people who are initiated when we are offering it to the deities. Because this is the Panchatantric ruling is there, that someone who's initiated, they're able to serve Krishna. Krishna says that I accept someone who's initiated on my same spiritual level. We can't approach Krishna, we are born human being. A human being means that's a material position. Krishna is not human, he is on transcendental platform. When we accept Diksha, that means we accept a new birth, Dvijatva. Second birth means that mother is Shastra and father is Guru, you see. Then Krishna accepts us that now you are on a spiritual platform. That time we accept that we are not the body, we are the soul. Body is only our vehicle and we are serving in this way. So all of these things are many implications for Diksha. Diksha also means to become a Shishya. Shishya means to follow the discipline of the Guru. So, unless there's some emergency, normally the final cooking, that means the touching of the fire, that should be done by an initiated person, because that person will be responsible also. If a person is dirty or touching, not knowing the purity, if they are touching the fire and offering that type of food to Krishna, that will be an offense. And for a new devotee, we don't want them also to commit any offense. Or an older devotee. So anyone who is going to cook for the Lord, they shouldn't take it lightly. This is a very intimate service and they should learn all the details of cleanliness which are part of archana or deity worship. And they should follow that. system very strictly, never touching their mouth, never touching their feet, never touching the ground without washing their hand. Never touching offered food and again touching the unoffered food. It's a whole system. And if one transgresses these rules, even then unknowingly, that will be considered offensive in deity worship. Of course, Jagannath are quite merciful, but Krishna and Rukmini and Satyabhama, the goddesses of fortune, Satyabhama, Rukmini, they have been known to be very exacting. We should be very careful. They may not be so tolerant if someone offers to Krishna something which is not proper. They may not be very tolerant. I mean, we can pray for their mercy because we're all neophyte devotees. They can pray like that, the devotee. But it's better to be very careful when serving this type of powerful deities. But we should know the whole system carefully, and accordingly it should be supervised by a brahmana. Others, they can assist. They can work in the kitchen and assist. If there is a brahmana there who is responsible to see that that means a dikshit person into the Vaishnava system, who is responsible to see that everything is being done according to the system. And that personal offering of the food and the final cooking touches, that should be preferably be done by an initiated person when we are offering to a deity. If someone's cooking in their own house, and they're offering to Krishna themselves, their own picture of Krishna, that's a separate question. But this is a temple which is having deities, and the deities are persons. Krishna himself is there with Lakshmi and with Balaram, and we have to try our best to satisfy them, being conscious of what is dissatisfying to them also. In our major temples in Vrindavan and Mayapur in Bombay, we don't purchase any store-bought foods, sweets. In the smaller temples, sometimes they purchase. Of course, purchasing is that has got some other implication. Purchasing is sometimes allowed. But that would be considered to be not as perfect as if we could make the things ourselves. Because they're not having any pure standard. We don't know what type of... Actually, technically speaking, store-bought things which are made outside by non-devotees, they're not... Even in the West, we also offer fruit juice. We make the juice ourselves. Because whether that people are washing their hands after they're going in the bathroom or something like that, or what they're doing, you don't know what standard they have. You see, there are many rules. If you go to the bathroom, you have to take an entire shower, the same cloth you shouldn't use if you're going to cook for the deity. If people are negligent of this, they'll get worse than sinful reaction. They'll get an offensive reaction from Krishna. Their devotion will be stuck up. And for preaching sometime, we can pray to Krishna that for preaching we have to just do these things. And there's no alternative. But normally, one should be very careful. It's an opportunity to get a blessing. It's an opportunity at the same time, if you're not careful, to also get punished. So we should be very careful when we do these things, to do it properly. But that is made by Krishna.